Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Just Us Talks with Tisha. I am your host, Tisha Hillman. I am a Maryland-based attorney practicing in the areas of family law, criminal law, and personal injury. If you are tuning in for the first time to Just Us Talks with Tisha, this is a weekly blog talk radio show in which we talk about everything from justice and equality issues to political issues, and also we kind of sprinkle in some of the law, because if you've heard me say this once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times, is that the law is implicated in about every single thing, if not every single thing, that happened in our lives in this country. And so I want to start this week talking about the latest kerfuffle, if you will, that occurred in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and on the Hill this week, where the government was shut down for approximately 3 days. Now, I'm not sure if you guys remember the government shutdown of 2013, I believe it was. But at that time, I was actually working at, for the government, and it was rough. It was about 16 days where people were just uncertain, one, when the government was going to reopen, and two, whether or not they were going to be broke by the time the government did reopen. I remember at that time there were colleagues that were having to dip into their retirement, to savings and things like that in order to pay their bills, and that was just 16 days. That wasn't, 3 months or anything like that. And so what that tells me, folks, is that, they always say that we're all one paycheck away from poverty. And I would venture to say that that is 100% correct. These are people who are making six figures. And, as you guys probably know, if you live in the D.C. metro area, living here is not cheap. So the cost of living, whether you are in the district or Virginia or in Maryland, it doesn't matter, because the cost of living is so high that even if you're making six figures, you're probably paying about $2,000 a month for your mortgage or for your rent. And so think about that. That's just one expense. And so it was causing some major issues in the financial lives of people, and people were honestly scared, about what was going to happen. And what it all boiled down to was that, you had a Republican Party who was upset with the president and basically decided to shut down the government until the president caved. And so because of that, millions of lives of people were impacted, because our elected representatives could not seem to get it together in order to adequately represent the people. And so this past weekend, when you had the government shut down, while it lasted, over the weekend, right? And so, it didn't really impact people's lives too much, but it still had the potential to have grave consequences on the financial lives of people. Because the thing that's interesting, folks, and you hear me talk about this on the show all the time, is that the people who we pay to represent us, so even if the government is shut down, these folks are still getting paid. But they're impacting the lives of the rest of us because they are throwing a temper tantrum or whatever the case may be. And so one of the problems that we have, and I will say this until I'm blue in the face, and I tell you, as a black girl, that's a little bit tough, but I will say this until I am blue in the face, is that until we have an elected, a system of representatives and Congress members that are not bought and paid for by lobbyists, we're going to have a problem, because the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And by squeaky wheel, I mean money. And so, we talked a few weeks ago about the tax reform bill, or as I like to refer to it, as the tax scam bill, in which, you know, there was this loud and proud celebration by the Republican Party after it passed, talking about it being the largest tax cut in history, and how all these people were going to benefit. But the thing is, folks, is that the only people who benefited were the top 1%, maybe the top 2%. And for this president to then go to Mar-a-Lago after that tax bill passed and to tell his guests at, you know, a $100,000 plate dinner, right, which I can't imagine the average could afford, congratulations, you've all just gotten richer. I'm sure he did not mean the rest of us. So when we think about some of the ways that we are impacted every single day by the things that happen up, you know, 10 miles from here, it's scary. Because there was a court decision a few years ago called Citizens United. And if you Google the Citizens United decision, you will realize that it was a legal decision that went all the way to the Supreme Court that is part of the reason, if not the reason, we have things the way they are in terms of the lobbying that goes on and the benefits that that our representatives can accept. Because basically Citizens United decided that corporations were people. They could make unlimited financial contributions to a political party. And so what you have then is, after the tax scam bill was passed, people like the speaker, Paul Ryan, received $500,000 from the Koch brothers. And if you're not familiar with the politics and the political machine and how things work, the Koch brothers is one of the largest contributors of conservative representatives. And so they are behind a lot of various political movements and various political candidates. And so the Koch brothers gave Paul Ryan $500,000 after they got through the tax scam bill. Why? Because they benefit. Because the top 1% of people in this country benefit. But what you have on the flip side is things like deductions that you can no longer take for, like, medical bills, deductions that teachers can no longer take for buying pencils for their students. But what you also have is the wealthy being able to take deductions for being able to send their kids to private school and things like that. And so when we talk about equality and we talk about fairness and we talk about justice, because that's what this show is premised upon, folks. It's about justice and the fact that sometimes justice is really just us. And so I would say that we have to pick up, pick up our bags and walk to the polls for every single election, whether it be state or local or, the word is escaping me, or on a national level. You want to make sure that you take up your bags and go to the polls at every single election, because as I always say on the show, folks, your vote counts. And when you don't vote, your inaction is in fact a decision. And what you get is what you get when you don't take action. And so, folks, anytime you can get the opportunity to write your elected officials and talk to them about the, possibly going back and examining the tax reform bill and challenging DACA or whatever it is that you're passionate about, that you challenge these decisions, because these are our elected representatives that are supposed to be representing our interests. But what is actually happening, what's supposed to be happening in theory, And what's actually happening is that our elected representatives are being paid by those with the most money. And those with the most money are getting their issues on the table. Our elected representatives are being lobbied by those with the most money. And you've heard me say on the show before that when the tax scam bill passed at the end of last year, you actually had lobbyists in the room negotiating provisions in our tax code. And folks, if that's not problematic, I don't know what is. It is absolutely problematic, and something needs to happen if we are going to even claim to be a democracy. But as you guys know, I've said a long time ago that we are no longer a democracy, because we can't say that we are a democracy if the very voices of the people are not being heard. And if the voices of the people and the ideals of the people are not what's being represented to our government and at the, you know, and on the Hill and before the Senate and whatever the case may be, if our elected representatives are not taking up our issues, but are instead taking up the issues of those who can pay them the most money, folks, we have long slid past that place where we are considered a democracy. And one of the other ways in which I always talk about with our country kind of sliding past that place of democratic values is where you have a situation where, for example, I'm not sure if you guys kind of followed the story, but because we talk about justice and fairness and equality on this show, specifically as it pertains to not only our government, but also the laws that impact us, you know, you've probably heard this president talk over and over about fake news. And if you're at all familiar with the Constitution, the First Amendment of the Constitution of these United States talks about this little thing called freedom of the press. And so, folks, if we cannot have a free press that can operate without bias and be able to tell both sides of the story, that's another way in which we have slid past being a democracy. Because if our press is only supposed to take up the issues in which make this administration or this president look good, then folks, we have a problem. But one of the other issues is recently, I believe this was a couple of days ago, there was a young man, I think he was like 19 years old. He went to the CNN building in Atlanta, and he threatened to kill CNN employees because he stated that, again, that they were peddling fake news. And where have we heard that before? So, you know, you had this young man who went and threatened to kill CNN employees. Specifically, he stated that he wanted to kill blacks, Jews, and Muslims because he wanted them to know that they are hated. And, you know, folks, the one thing that I always say is when it comes to issues of racism in this country, I can assure you that most black people know very, very well that we are hated. That's really a fight that he wants to fight, because I think we know that one pretty well. But the problem is when you have the commander-in-chief telling a certain segment of the population and, you know, telling them things like essentially that they should only listen to him and only listen to one particular news source and everything else is fake, this is what we have. You know, we have people that go to pizza shops, you know, saying that, you know, a political candidate has a child sex ring going on in a pizza shop. And folks, these are the things that are an assault on our democracy. Because if we can no longer have freedom of the press, if we can no longer have freedom of religion, because now we have some brothers and sisters being constantly assaulted and attacked, not only by ordinary citizens, but by our president, folks, we have a problem. Because when you have those that are supposed to and that take oaths to uphold the Constitution and to defend the Constitution of these United States from all threats, both foreign and domestic, but no one checks him on that, we have a problem. And if this is what we've seen, folks, in 12 months, it's only going to get worse if someone doesn't check this issue. Because when you have ordinary citizens that can go and threaten to kill other people because of things they've been told, propaganda that's been spread by the President of the United States, it's bad. This young man was arrested. He got a $10,000 bond, and he was out the same day. Now, because we talk about fairness on this show, I believe in being honest, because I always say that only when we face the truth can we really deal with the issues. We will never deal with those things that we are never willing to confront. And so you cannot have a country that is built on racism and not have issues with racism, right? And so the fact that this young man was able to threaten to kill people and to get a $10,000 bond. Folks, I guarantee you there are people sitting in jail right now on marijuana possession charges that have a higher bond than $10,000. I guarantee you. But this man threatened physical harm, threatened to kill people, and got a $10,000 bond, and by dinner he was home with his family. These are threats to our democracy. But until we are willing to call things what they are and to really challenge our elected officials and challenge those in power and those who are sworn not only to represent us before our government, but also to challenge the very laws that allow these things to happen, we are going to continue down the slippery slope and to full-on anarchy. Because it's only so long that you can poke the bear before the bear bites back. So that's my political spiel. That's my political, nonsense of the day. And as I always say, when we talk about politics on the show, vote, that is where your power lies. And I know, especially in light of everything I said about Citizens United decision and the ability to control elections with money, I know that sounds kind of counterproductive now, but vote. It's the only thing that we have in this country that can possibly ensure that we have representation. You got to make sure that you vote in all elections. And as I always say, the local elections are the very things that people overlook a lot of the times. The voter turnout in local elections is so poor that we have so many people in positions in our local government that if you ever sat in on a city council meeting or some of these other meetings, a county executive meeting, if you're allowed, things like that, you will see some of the craziness that kind of goes on because we allow it, because we don't really consider those elections to be important. But I assure you, those are the most important elections, because think about it. Yes, the policies of the president will impact us, but it's our local elections, that our local and our state elections, that are going to impact our daily lives every single day of the week. So pay attention to the political candidates that are running, and make sure that you look at their platform and look at their voting history, look at what they stand for. And if those are the values that you support, make sure that you get behind those candidates and that you help people to get out and vote, whatever it takes, because if we want change, we have to do something different. But today in the legal segment, I want to talk about DNA as it pertains to paternity, because I get a lot of phone calls from men who are distraught because they are paying child support and they don't know if the child is theirs, because there are ways in which paternity can be established. And I don't think a lot of people really understand this. And then it makes it later more difficult to challenge that paternity. And so when we're talking about getting a DNA test, if you have a child and you're paying child support, but you don't know if that child is yours, you certainly have a right to get a DNA test. Now, it might be difficult because it certainly can be difficult to kind of go back and to challenge those decisions once paternity has been established by way of one of the other methods that we'll talk about. But also, if the child is a little bit older, that can be difficult as well. Prime example, a few years ago, I had a case where a young man was, by the time he contacted me, his license had been suspended. He was about to go to jail for non-payment of child support. But the funny thing is, folks, he knew the children weren't his. She knew the children weren't his. And the courts knew the children weren't his. But nevertheless, they were going to lock this man up. And they'd already garnished his taxes. So he every year he'd be afraid to file taxes because he would never get it back because the state would snatch it every single year. He can't drive because his license are suspended. And he's about to go to jail for something that everybody knows. But the problem is sometimes it takes the law a little bit of time to kind of catch up with life and with technology because some of the laws that we have are so arcane that they go back to a time in which, like, for example, it goes back to a time, and not saying that, you know, alimony is not a great thing, but it goes back to a time in which the men worked, the women stayed home, and so once the woman who now has no skills and no life, once the man has left her, now she needs money in order to support herself and to become self-sufficient. But those times are no longer. So we may need to kind of look at some of these laws and bring them up to speed with what actually happens in real life. And I believe that child support and DNA, as it pertains to paternity, is certainly one of those things. And so eventually I was able to help my client, and we were able to get everything reversed. But it took a lot of fighting. And it took him about a year and thousands of dollars in legal fees to get this done, something that should probably not have happened in the first place. What happened was he was married to a woman who was unfaithful. She got pregnant twice. But the problem is, in the state of Maryland, if children are born to the marriage, there is a legal presumption that the children that are born of the marriage are presumed to be the children of the father, of the husband. And it is a challenge. I'm telling you, it is difficult to challenge that presumption in the court of law. Because my client literally took the DNA test to the court, and the court would not accept it and made him pay child support for children that everyone knew were not his. Why? Because of this arcane law that says people don't have sex outside of marriage, which we all know is absolutely untrue. And so if you are paying child support for a child that you are not sure is yours, the first question that you have to ask is, has paternity been established, and if so, how? If it's just a matter of the young woman, sometimes my understanding is if women are receiving public benefits, they have to list a father so that the child support enforcement and the social services can go after that father because they want all their money back, right? And so if paternity has not been established by way of either signing the birth certificate, or if you signed the birth certificate and you later found out that this was a Judge Mathis episode and you probably should have challenged it with DNA, then there are other steps that you can take. But I want to warn you that it can take a little bit of time. So I always tell people that when you're trying to pursue a legal action, you got to pack your patience, because sometimes these things can take months, if not close to a year, sometimes even over that, to kind of get through the system, right? Now, a paternity is a lot easier, but it can still take a few months to get things done. And in the meantime, you're still obligated to pay child support. And generally, you don't get that money back. That's one of the other interesting things about child support, is usually if you overpay, you don't get it back. The other ways, as I just alluded to with my client, is through marriage. If the children were born and the parties were married when the child was conceived, then the presumption is the husband's the father, unless otherwise. Now, there's also something that is called an affidavit of parentage. And now these are things that I think can come in handy, specifically if you have same-sex couples. Now, an affidavit of parentage is just that. It's an affidavit saying that I am, in fact, the parent of this particular child. And so as it applies to same-sex couples, you know, if you have, I think it's easier to describe in maybe a lesbian relationship where one of the partners actually has the child, but maybe they did something. I don't know all science stuff, but, you know, maybe they were able to do something to, maybe they put one partner's egg into the womb of the other. I'm not really sure, but there are a lot of different ways that children can be born. And so if you file an affidavit of parentage, that is a way to legitimate a child. The other way is a paternity declaration. Same sort of effect as an affidavit of parentage. Then there is, of course, adoption. And the final way is paternity by conduct. And now, folks, this is interesting because, as I was stating before, sometimes it's harder when the child is to get it reversed. And the reason is because how the court looks at it is, remember, when it comes to kids, it's all about what's in the best interest of the child. And there's been case law that has stated it's not in the best interest of a child to, you know, have a father for, you know, 5 years, and now at the sixth year, the father's saying, well, you're not my child, right? That could potentially be damaging to the child. And so, not saying that it can't be done, but it is certainly a lot more complicated because of the implications that have, impact that it can have on the psyche of the child. But there's also, like I said, paternity by conduct, and that's where there has been an actual court determination of paternity, and it's a situation where, again, as the parents were not married to one another, the father has acknowledged himself in writing to be the father. He has what the court considers it openly and notoriously recognized the child to be his child, or the father has subsequently married the mother and acknowledged himself to be the father. So there are several ways that you can have paternity by conduct, but my focus is on the open and notoriously holding yourself out to be the father, because that is where you tell everybody, oh, my baby's so cute, my baby looks just like me, oh, my baby, my baby, my baby, and then all of a sudden the baby ain't yours, right? That makes things a little bit harder when you've held yourself out to be the parent for a particular period of time, and now you state that you're not because maybe child support is too high. So there are ways around these decisions, but if you have any questions about paternity and you want to get a DNA test, you possibly want to challenge paternity that you've already established either by signing the birth certificate or by one of these other methods, make sure you give my office a call. We can be reached at 301-744-7996. We handle these types of cases all the time because it's really important, folks, that kids are supported. Yes, kids have absolutely a right to be supported by their parents, but you also want to make sure that you don't spend 18 years taking care of a child that maybe at month six you could have known was not yours, and now this child has grown attached to you, and now it's a problem. So make sure that if you do anything, do it early. Do it early. Don't wait, because that can hurt your chances of success. But, folks, that's all we have for today. Tune in, same bat time, same bat channel, next week, 10 a.m. Until next week, always remember that sometimes when it comes to justice and it comes to the law, sometimes it really is just us. Thanks so much.